Blog Talk Radio.
Sound check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Hello.
Okay, so we had a format. I have it in front of me. And you want to be ultra professional, like beyond Donald Trump, you know? Anyway.
I watched a lot of our older conversations, and they were pretty pro. I want to, you know, be intelligent as we can. That's all, you know, to putting the shit out to the public.
That's true. So I'll put on my more professional mouth, and here we go.
All right, dude.
Let me see. How does this go? Welcome to Wake Up 911 Radio. I'm your host, James Easton, and today I have with me Doug Michael. We're going to discuss a few topics, including the state of the world, mental madness, and life or death. But first I want to introduce Doug. He's not new to this program. We did some stuff last year. A lot of it was really, really good. And so that's why I'm coming back for more. Doug, tell us a little bit about your what you've been up to and the works you've put out lately.
Sure. How you doing, James, man? It's been a while. Thanks for having me back again, dude.
No problem. I'm doing great.
Over the last, throughout the course of 2016, I co-authored 5 books and I produced about 120 videos. Since then, I've had to take a hiatus, primarily for health reasons. But I just got overwhelmed, too. I actually shut down my YouTube channel. I was so tired of the censorship and the trolling and the, you know, YouTube did not like the information I was putting out, so they would kick people off, you know, unsubscribe people. I've got contacted by dozens and dozens of people saying, hey, why did they kick me off? I don't know. And so, again, I took a hiatus for most of this year, and I'm just getting back into, you know, doing some small writings on my website and things like that. And in the future, I might just begin publishing again on my own without, you know, co-authoring with someone else. So I've really been focusing a lot on the music lately. My band's actually recording our first full-length album right now. We put out an EP last year. It was really, really well-received. So I've been also focusing a lot on music this year. And traveling quite a bit throughout upstate New York, seeing a lot of these very beautiful places, which is very therapeutic to me. Because I deal with MS, which is a nasty illness, and it's been really bothering me quite a lot over the last few months. But I'm starting to recover slowly but surely.
Right on. The thing that actually drew me to you initially back last year, or whenever it was your work on the simulacrum, what I call the matrix, basically. But
yes.
I'm sure you had done a lot more studying. I just labeled it. But it was very interesting. You opened up a whole window of understanding that I was not aware of. That's how we got started talking to each other.
Yes,
that's
right.
And, became friends, I guess, you know, like as much as you can say you're a friend if you live like 600 miles away. But I mean, that's just the thing with the internet these days is like I find I relate more with people all over the world than the people right next to me. So it's just the way it is. But in terms of my stuff, I started 9/11, The Biggest Lie, in 2013, and it's just been going ever since. I've just been kept pounding out more stuff. The more I found, the more I published stuff, and I've been the subject of, I'm the bane of 9/11 Truth and AE 9/11, because I know they're in it, and among others, like Judy Wood, and there's, you know, at one point I had a whole band of brothers sort of working on stuff. And then they just, when my movie 9/11 The Biggest Lie reached 1 million, they pulled it on 9/11. And
yeah,
as well,
what a coincidence.
I know. It's so weird. And the Facebook page got tanked as well. you and I both know you're not allowed to talk negatively about anything Jewish or their prime minister or their faculty or their their ministers or their government or whatever, if you say anything negative about a Jew, you're automatically an outcast. They throw you in Facebook jail or they yank that shit down. Because they did 9/11, and everybody sort of knows it at this point, but it's sort of like they're the thought police, and they own Facebook and YouTube and everything, really. So I remember Finkelstein, you know, the guy who talks about them nabbing up children and putting them in our McDonald's burgers. He also said that we're all scared of the Zionists. We're all scared of anti-Semitism in particular because they make it scary. Anyways, let's get started here. State of the world, evil systems in place. What do you got to say about that?
Well, hey, we could start with the education system, right? Thomas Jefferson has one of the most brilliant quotes I've ever read. He said, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and what can never be." Well, look at us, especially in America. My goodness, have you ever seen this country so divided over a silly election? The left and right bashing each other's brains in because I don't agree with the candidate that you voted for. It's unbelievable, and it's escalating. It's been escalating quite a bit since this bogus election. But with regards to the education system, sorry about that. I just stepped on my kitty by accident. With the education system, this was a creation of an organization which your listeners really should familiarize themselves, apart from Zionism and groups like the CFR and such. It's called the British Fabian Society. Now, these guys, they advocate Marxism, but Marxism in its truest form advocates violent and quick, bloody revolution. Now, Fabian Marxism is different. They advocate what's called incrementalism, to where they will slowly infiltrate cultures over time, very incrementally. They're very patient. And two guys that were affiliated with the Fabian Society, one was called Dr. Harold Ruggs, and the other was John Dewey, who's considered the father of American education. He was a Fabian socialist. Now, these guys instituted the compulsory education in the early 1900s, and lo and behold, where did they get their funding from? From the Rockefeller Foundation. Now, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars back in around 1920, which was a staggering amount of money back in those days. And then in 1940, we're talking about tens of billions, which in those days was also a very, very staggering amount of money. So they realized that to get America, they have to start with the kids, and that's exactly what they did. These people were Soviet sympathizers. They were absolute Fabian philosophers. They were Marxists, and they did a great job, and we see the results today. As it stands, and this is official statistics, James, 32 million United States adults are illiterate. 32 million, 21% of adults can't read or comprehend beyond the fifth grade level, and roughly 20% of high school graduates that push them through the system can't read. So we've got tens of millions of illiterate people in this country, and we expect that we're not going to have a tyranny unfold in our midst? Or are we insane? And that's, this was a very, very big influence of this organization, the Fabian Society. They're socialists. And they worked really, really hard at subverting the education system, and they were successful, unfortunately. I mean, I know you've seen these man in the street videos where people can't even answer basic questions about their own history, like, why do we celebrate the 4th of July? I don't know. I mean, that's ridiculous to me. This is basic knowledge. I'll send you a link. You'll get a kick out of it. These people are so dumbed down. And as a result, because...
Mark Dice going out in public? This guy Mark Dice asked a bunch of silly
questions. Yeah, that's probably the one I saw.
And it's pathetic. It's like, I'm sure he cuts out the ones who get it, but he left one or two in there. But the point is, overall, it was just depressing, I think. So.
Yeah. Dewey.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I had a hard time hearing you there.
Oh. No, I was just talking about Mark Dice, but maybe it'll come clearer through the when it's over. But anyway, I got the air conditioner on, but anyway, I can turn it off.
I've seen a couple of his. And other people too.
Pardon me?
I've seen a couple of Dice's videos and other people too, where they just, and these are college students or grown adults that can't answer who won the Civil War or why was it even being fought. They don't know shit about history. And I would suggest that if you have no grasp of history, you're going to repeat it. And we see it happening. You know, the constant throughout human history has been tyranny. Why? Because the masses are always kept in a state of ignorance.
Well, fortunately, there is a large contingent of Americans that aren't stupid. It's just who's...
That's true.
What are the odds? Ever see that picture of Homer Simpson? I think it's from Fahrenheit 451, where the bonehead police beat up the intellects. that's what we're getting to. They saw this a long time ago. I mean, you have George Orwell saying this will happen, and it's happening. So, and a lot of it's already happened. And Rockefeller also, not just the education system, but the entire medical industry, you know, and the pharmaceutical industry. He created that. The holistic medicine, centuries of understanding how to use herbs and roots and stuff to make you better, that give cures and not just temporary fixes, you know, out the window for this modern fandangled, you know, pill. I contend that the only real medical profession as a doctor, so to speak, is a surgeon, you know, someone who can put you back together when you're broken or whatever. The point being that all the other stuff is all sort of mashed together into one ideal, and they have control of all of it. So if they want to give your kids vaccine, they can. I mean, they can just mandate it, right? And all of a sudden you have like X amount of aluminum and mercury in your brain. That's fucking awesome, isn't it? The power they have over stupid people.
It sure is. And, you know, that was a great point you made, James. It's a perceptual illusion. It's a manipulation of perceptions. And the problem is that people are so afraid to, you know, examine their own perceptions and even ask themselves, why do I believe this or that? Where did this thought come from? Is it even my own? And then what's worse is that I call it cognitive fortresses. You know, I'm firmly rooted in my, you know, little bubble, my perceptions, and I will not budge. At, to the point where, you know, I think in one of our last talks last year, I had mentioned that a top senior scientist for the CDC, his name was William Thompson, came public. You could view his public statement through his attorney right online. It's public knowledge. And he claimed in his years at the CDC that they were deliberately covering up research that showed that the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella shot, which is mandatory for infants, was causing autism in children, specifically African-American children. Now, you could show people, look, this is a public statement through his attorney's office. CNN had reported on it back then. And they'll still, no, they'll still deny. So you could put evidence right in front of you, cognitive fortresses, and, you know, they'll just deny it. I don't want to look at a painful truth. And it's our failure to do that, to examine our own perceptions, that keeps us locked into this, you know, cognitive cage. And it allows these few oligarchs to just, you know, do what they will. And it's coming to the point. It's like a powder keg, you know. When you see these ridiculous, these, you know, the left bashing the right's brains in it because you voted for Trump or vice versa. I mean, it's coming to a point where it's going to explode.
Well, I recently in a video, this is related. Everything's related. Everything's connected. Okay, I mean, I would say 9/11 was like a milestone in human existence, which, you know, much is connected. In fact, you can relate everything. But what I'm getting to is, in a video I just did, I was talking about the need for a think tank or groupings of people who can, you know, voice their ideas as opposed to typing them out or just putting up a thing on Facebook, which is all monitored and all data, you know, collected and everything. We have profited these people, everything in our heads, all our information, personal information, everything. It's all that they have it all. And, you know, and they're evil. It's fucking, you know, we walked into a trap. You say powder keg, I say like nuclear keg, or, you know, like maybe they don't exist. I just saw a video on that, but I don't know if nukes exist, but I do know they have the power to wipe us out in many different ways at this stage. And why they haven't, I don't know. Is this a game to them? Is this are we like rats in a maze? Are they trying to learn from this experience from us? And who are they? You know, it seems that they are not God. They're not demigods. They're not, you know, they're not Satan. They're just rich assholes. They are literally the ones who play the game and won. And they're messing with their lives. They're psychos. They have no empathy. They have no respect, no remorse. And, you know, so they can wave their hand and say, kill 6 million of these people and, you know, and redraw the borders and, you know, and it gets done and at the expense of lives of very stupid people in America. So what do you think of that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, one of the problems, I know we talked about this in the past too, James, is this, we always want to externalize to some perceived authority. Because we can't act as our own authority. We can't have that. So we look to the politician or the preacher or the guru or the government or something, and we're always externalizing. And we're doing the same thing, looking for an enemy. We always want to blame an enemy outside of ourselves. We never want to self-examine and self-actualize, you know, realize our full potential. And like you mentioned, technology. Perfect. That's a perfect thing to talk about, because never before have we had these immense tools. And you're right, they do collect data, but even still, we could use these tools to our advantage. But look at, like, Facebook. Oh, that's a great one. It's what a great platform to observe people's stupidity. Because here you have a global network of billions of minds where you could exchange ideas, but look what people are wrapped up in. They're wrapped up in, I don't know, selfies or just stupid nonsense that has no bearing on anything. They use it as a platform to, you know, show how boring they are, or to, you know, show how ignorant they are, or to air their dirty laundry to the world. It's incredible, really incredible. But yeah, I think these oligarchs at the top, they probably, you know, drink very expensive champagne while they laugh at us, because their plan has been very successful, unfortunately.
Well, so like with all these things, the powder keg that you're describing, it's mental, it's physical, it's structural, the real world. You call it simulacrum. I call it the matrix. It's an invisible border between reality and the unreal world, where in reality...
Absolutely. It's a superimposed perceptual reality. That's how I kind of refer to it, James. That's what simulacrum means. It's basically a cheap facsimile. Because 3D reality is real. I don't buy into that. It's all just a computer simulation. I don't know that I buy that. I mean, 3D reality is real. I go to these beautiful places and I take pictures, and when I hold my lover or my pet and I feel that connection when I look in their eyes, to me that's real. What we have is a superimposed perceptual illusion overlaid on top of it. Hence, you know, this disconnection we're seeing. I want to bash your brains in because you voted for Trump. It's absolute insanity. And on a different note, did you see after the election these fucking grown adults crying like little children, didn't win? I've never seen that before. Not to this level. Oh, my goodness. You want to shake them.
First time I saw that was when the Beatles were on stage.
What was that again?
You know, freaking out. I'm saying when the Beatles first came on stage, you know, like all the girls were like, ah, like freaking right out. It's sort of like insanity. And that's how Donald Trump was like revved up as the, you know, he's not a politician, he's a businessman, he's ruthless, he's born with a silver spoon up his ass, and you know,
yeah.
And everybody loved the guy because, who is the opposition? An evil bitch, a witch, someone who eats little kids.
Career criminal. Oh yeah, career criminal, sociopath to her fingertips, without a doubt. So these people, if they did a little homework, they'd never even think about supporting someone like that. She was wrapped up in Bill's scandals throughout the time he was governor of Arkansas and through his presidency, too. She was eyeballs deep in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reality of it is that the entire I argue it goes right back to George Washington, who was a Mason, you know, and the founders, who were all Masons, and the founding of America, the independence, and the establishment of the Masonic whatever in America, both on July 4th, 1776, sort of dual parallel going through all the years where they act within the limits of the Constitution on these bad guys. And then all of a sudden one day, boom, two towers come down and like they deviate. Everybody thinks things are normal, like they're like they used to be, but they're not. They're totally out to lunch. You know, these bad guys instituted the Patriot Act and NDAA, which totally violate in every way, shape, and form the Constitution. I mean, no habeas corpus for you. You know, go straight to the box. And, you know, like, it's just fucking ridiculous how people don't see that.
Yeah.
And, like, because, you know, like you said, the education system, the people are so dumbed down that some of them can't even read and write. And, you know, how are they supposed to help themselves? They've been robbed from day one and by a system of incremental design that just has an evil plot at the end, you know, an evil plot twist. The crazy thing is that lots of people do see this but feel, like, powerless to do anything about it because they don't have any organization and, you know, they're up against the cops who are all trained by Israelis and the military, who's like all a bunch of fucktard, brainwashed idiots. I mean, these guys came back from Iraq with remorse. They're like, we went over there and we killed everybody, you know, men, women, children. We didn't care. That's what we were told to do. That's not what the news reported,
yeah.
But, you know, that's the way it goes. You know, several million people dead later at the hands of America and NATO is. You know, that's the equivalent of 3,000 dead on 9/11. Are you fucking joking?
No, it's insane. And Libya, what about Libya? Libya was a very prosperous country before NATO and U.S. forces went in there and destroyed it. And, you know, there's something to that I think people need to know, too. I think you mentioned that there was no central bank, which has got to be one of the main reasons. But there's another thing, too. Now, before Gaddafi was murdered, he said, a prosperous Libya is basically the last barrier between mass migration into Europe. Well, he was right. I think that was part of the plan, too, so that they could destabilize Europe. And it's happening. My God. Areas of Germany are just decimated.
Yeah.
Sweden, destroyed. Parts of France, destroyed. It's like we spoke last time about an engineered cultural war. That's what they've done. Your listeners could look up something. It's called the Kalergi Plan. This is a brainchild also of the Sabian Society. They had this agenda for many, many years to force multiculturalism onto Europe to destroy it, and it's working. And they want to try it here. It's a little bit more of a challenge because 185 million Americans are armed to the teeth, so it's going to be – but they wouldn't mind having another civil war here or a religious war. And if people don't open their eyes to this – that's what's going to happen. And, you know, you said that people are made to feel powerless, and you're right. They buy into that propaganda. It's not true at all. We have all the power. But what it takes, James, is a deliberate willingness to examine our perceptions and to evolve our consciousness. And that's hard work, so nobody really wants to do it. You know what? If you give me a few – some creature comforts and for, you know, some cushions for my prison cell, that I'm happy. Why would I want to change when I fall asleep and leave, I'm free? But meanwhile, when we buy that illusion, the whole entire country falls to shit all around us. I mean, my God, we're teetering on the verge of becoming a third world nation. And everything that our forefathers, you know, went into the fields of battle and fought for, or toiled in the factories and the sweatshops to give us a better life, we let it get flushed down the toilet. So I'm almost at the point with these idiots that you deserve to fall. You're going to fall because you're not united. You're the most disunited you've ever been. You want to kill each other over meaningless shit, and you don't want to do the inner work to evolve your perceptions and your consciousness. That's the recipe for tyranny. It always has been.
You're right. There's been tyranny and dissolution of countries, nations, whatever, many times over. It seems like it's a repeating experiment. Like with each new version, they kind of like plug in a different few factors or variables and see what happens. You know, how will this end this time? Like they knew long ago, like it would end, and they're instigators and provokers of this end. I always say to people, you know, like it's not your fault per se. It's their fault. They did this to you by design, where they fucked with your education, they fucked with your idealism, they forced religion on you at an early age, which is all a lie. It's all a lie. At least the story of Jesus Christ and the story of the Jewish Torah or the Old Testament. It's a design. It's a repetition of design. I believe this is like far fetched, but really I put my I stake a claim in this that once upon a time, who knows exactly how long ago, a group of individuals that were super intelligent fabricated a story that fits with the astrology or astronomy, and they developed a model of a perfect man that was truthful and honest and good and said the right things and all the good stuff, which mm-hmm. we should all aspire to be. But the failing in it is that he didn't really exist in that, but they built an institution around it. So you as an individual...
Yes.
Seek to be good and honest and helpful and truthful. It's just in your nature. Some people don't have that in their nature. And then you have, this model being put in front of you. So, like, you have direction. You can see the idea is this.
Nope.
Is that someone? Hello? Hello? Are you there? I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm showing I'm still connected, but I can't hear you. Check. Let's see if you accidentally muted yourself, Jane.
Hold on. I'm still here. Shit. Can you hear me now?